Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. You can find us online at faithpeshtigo.com. We're also on Facebook. Just search for Faith Church Peshtigo. Today's podcast features a conversation between Pastor Jay and Pastor Robbie about the sermon from July 12th, 2020.
It is almost certainly not how these things work.
It is absolutely how these things work. I disagree wholeheartedly.
That's a perfect way to start.
Yes, disagreeing wholeheartedly. Welcome to our disagreement, everyone. Podcast episode number, and I forgot to look again, and you don't care.
Nobody is worried about that.
They're not worried. It's just a little nugget for the people, because if they've listened to all of them, they're like, wow, we're like in the 30s now. This could be a milestone episode and we won't know.
Well, that's a risk I'm willing to take.
Okay, glad you are. Well, if you don't know, that is Robbie Helene, who's my co-host today, and I'm Jay Williams.
Hello, everyone. We are glad that you are listening today.
Yes. And we are back to distancing on the podcast.
We are indeed. We are in separate offices.
Which, this time, though, we tried doing it without Zoom, so now I can't see your face.
That is quite a shame.
It is.
Quite a shame.
It is quite a shame, because then I can't tell. It's going to be a shame for everybody, because they don't realize how much your facial expressions keep me in check.
My shifting from incredulity to excitement to horror to agreement to disappointment, it's what keeps the podcast alive.
It is. Or it keeps it under 3 hours also. So
possibly.
Yeah. That's not actually what I wanted to lead off with. I want to lead off with something that just happened here, that you, Robert Helene, officially became old.
Yes, it did. Well, not officially. I mean, this has been a slippery slope for quite a while now.
Well, but you crossed a line.
I'm beginning to embrace it.
You crossed a line.
Yes.
This morning.
I uttered the phrase. First of all, I had to call in a younger employee in order to assist me, and then uttered the phrase, I pressed a button and everything went away and I can't get it back.
Yes.
That happened today.
That happened. I heard it from next door and I laughed.
To your great delight.
I laughed out loud because it was so great. Right? Yeah, Robbie's on his computer trying to figure something out and calls for Christoph and says, Christoph, get in here. And Christoph came in there and he said, I pressed a button and everything went away. And so Robbie is officially now old and can't handle technology. Now, before we get offended, people who right now are older, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not who we're talking about.
Precisely.
That's always the same.
Although I am currently recording the podcast and I am who we are talking about. So,
I mean, the reality is that we have all been there. Unless you are 14, we have all been there where we're saying, wait, what's this thing? I just had that about some new social media that I did not realize existed. And it was mentioned among some high schoolers. And I was like, I don't know what that is.
I do not have the mental or emotional energy to keep up with all the social medias.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to when your kids get there. It's going to happen. Well. So I'm dealing with that now. So yeah, we all are. But Robbie, I just had always kind of esteemed you as someone who was age proof in technology.
It's a bold expectation.
Well, just in technology.
Oh.
Technology and clothing.
Well, I feel like this is not a... Well, no, I'm not even going to defend myself. Never mind. I deserve everything I received this morning. I'm so ashamed.
Yep. If you could see my face right now, you would see
would
my shame.
Filled with shame.
Yeah, like on your behalf, not personal.
Oh.
Not personal shame, but shame that you did that this morning. So anyway, that is not the topic of conversation for podcast. What are we talking about? Oh yeah, this is the sermon one.
That's right. Yeah, Sunday you walked us through some Isaiah, helped us gain a little perspective on God and his presence and his promises.
Yeah.
How do you feel like it went?
Well, it was a gorgeous day. So
it was downright delightful.
Yeah. Even when the sun came out from behind the clouds, it felt like a wonderful warming ray, and then it would go back just at the time where you felt like, ah, that's probably enough. It went back under cloud cover.
It was pretty fantastic. It was a great day to be outside.
Yeah. So that just made it amazing as it was. And so, overall, you know, this was an interesting one, and all of these are right now when we're talking about praying through scripture, because it's not the typical exegesis that we would do. So I didn't dig into any of the background of the
passage.
What
is exegesis, Jay? 60-second seminary. Go.
60-second seminary. How would I say that in less than six? It is just the, this will be for some of the people in the audience. It's essentially the unpacking. It's starting at the text and pulling meaning and understanding from the text. So it's all of your skills of reading, of context clues or whatever, which is the opposite of, say, eisegesis, where I start with my conclusion and then I fit text into that, which isn't always, I think it's fair to say that's not always wrong. There are times where we cite verses to back up a particular point of view, but pure exegesis, I guess I would say, is you're just starting with the text and going wherever the text leads you, pulling out our understanding from that. Can we say that?
That was great. Very sure. Helpful. Thank you.
And if there's anyone who teaches hermeneutics out there listening to this, you will be enraged right now, and you'll send me all of the much better definition. But I'm okay with that.
That's okay. That's not really our audience. I'd be shocked if that were our audience.
I'd be shocked if anybody in our audience teaches hermeneutics. Joke's on me. I teach hermeneutics, but...
You're not in the audience.
Okay? Right, I'm not in the audience.
You proved the point.
No, I'm just proving the point. So normally we would be digging into the passage a little bit more and looking at the background and what's going on, the context, the cultural context, and what's happening there. But we're really just trying to say, okay, as I'm reading scripture, how do I read it in a prayerful way? And yeah. I just thought of, if you're reading through, and a lot of times when you're reading the Old Testament, you're reading chapters at a time. You know, the Old Testament is not something I recommend that people read a verse a day. You need to read chunks of it. You know, it's narrative. By and large, it's narrative. And it's just good to read more than just a little bit. And so if you're reading through Isaiah and you get to this section, there's so much incredible stuff in there about God's presence and about promises that he makes to his people. And so I just thought, you know, we often say you don't have to have all the commentaries. There are some really straightforward things that are happening in Scripture that you can grasp and pray. And so that it was just a different style than what we typically do. And so I enjoyed that actually. I enjoyed preparing it, and I enjoyed delivering it, praying on behalf of the people throughout the sermon was really good. For my heart, for my soul.
Was there anything in there that that for the sake of time you had to cut or just didn't seem to fit, but you in your preparation were encouraged or impacted by?
Not really. I mean, this was one of those times where it just...
You got to say all the good stuff?
I just got to... Because I was just praying. I was just praying. So I think by and large... I think what I wanted to drive home was the idea that God's presence is the promise that he gives us. And it's because of other things. Like you certainly could make the argument that, well, his presence wouldn't be a wonderful thing if he wasn't good. And that's true. Yeah. And if he wasn't loving, that's true. So you can't separate all these things and say like, well, this promise is better than this promise. It's the fact that it's all of it together.
Right.
That makes it so amazing. But the fact that his presence is with us because he is good and loving and the God that he is, his presence is the greatest gift and the greatest promise. And it's so stressed all through scripture. And it's the thing that I think we struggle with the most is just the presence of God and actually believing that he is present, that he's present right now in the recording of this cast. And I know in my life I have felt I've missed out on so much comfort and joy and contentment that God offers just through his presence. You know, I try to find joy in, you know, or any, like a lot of times when you're struggling, when I struggle with something, I'm looking for answers to that struggle. And I often forget to start with his presence. And so that's maybe one thing that I could have gone into more. It's just saying that's where you start. It's good to then understand other reasons why I shouldn't worry and why I can be confident that he will provide for me and why I can be confident that he will, that I will persevere and all of these things. But it all starts with the fact that he is present and that he has promised to never leave us or forsake us.
And us seeing that as a good thing, right? Because not only do I have a hard time forgetting that he is present, I could have a hard time even acknowledging that that's something that I should desire.
Right.
Because we don't always think, and you touched on this in the sermon, that often we hear that promise of God saying, I will be with you, and our thought is, great, but are you going to fix the circumstance? Like, that's really what I need. Like, great, you're going to hang out, but what about making this easier for me, or fixing this, or removing this difficult situation, and not actually seeing the best thing he could possibly give us is himself. Like, the stuff is peripheral. The stuff is nice. That's, you know, that's grace upon grace. But just that the sovereign creator God of the universe would say, how about I give you me? Like, right. that the fact that I don't find that astounding every waking moment of my day is just evidence that I don't understand fully what it is that he is offering, because that's incredible. So much so, I was telling you this morning, so much so that as I was reading through the Old Testament last year, I was struck by, as Israel enters into the promised land and God is dividing up the tribes into their areas, and it says, okay, you get from this river to that river, and you get from this hill to that hill, and he kind of marks it all off, and then he gets to the Levites, and he says, and you get nothing. Like, you don't get any land. You know, each of these people should give you, you know, a city to hang out in, but you don't get that. Because your inheritance is me. And my first thought, my fleshly thought is, oh, bummer for the Levites. They didn't get any property. And like 30 seconds more contemplation, I realize, wait a minute. I have this backwards. They got God and everyone else got dirt. Like, they got the way better end of that deal. But because our perspective is so grounded, so rooted in stuff, in the tangible,
right,
we can even read that and read God saying, I don't need to give you dirt because I'm giving you me. And not that he's not, that the rest of Israel doesn't get to interact with him, but in a
right.
unique way, he promises his presence with the Levites. And the fact that my first response is not, man, they got way better inheritance than everybody else did, but my first response is, oh man, bummer for them. All they get is God. It just again reveals how quickly our hearts, like the gravity, the gravitational pull of our hearts is always back to stuff and just, but what about that thing I want, that thing I need, that circumstance I want fixed?
Yeah, and I think when I think through this, when I was looking back and just realizing when I feel God's presence, when I'm very acutely aware of his presence and I'm communing with him, then I find joy and satisfaction in the smallest of things. Like in those seasons where I just feel like God is so near and I've just so enjoyed just resting in his presence, I think everything, you know, I find joy in, you know, a good cup of coffee or you know, just these special moments with simple moments with my kids or all those things. I just find myself thankful for all of these things. But when his presence is not my main pursuit, and when I'm finding my hope or finding myself obsessing with things around me, then those things never satisfy and never, or it's very fleeting.
Right. Right.
So it's basically like, if I have God's presence, then I have everything. And if I don't have his presence, then even the biggest things are nothing. They're not satisfying. They're not fulfilling, which is something that we say all the time. And people would agree with that intellectually, but we function often in the other way. And we function in that way. We show it. We demonstrate it in what we end up pursuing. Like, it, right. So if I'm right. feeling discontent, if my pursuit is, well, then I need to get this thing that I feel like I'm lacking, well, then that's when we're going down that wrong road. Whereas if I'm pursuing God's presence in that, then I find that much simpler things will actually fulfill me because they're enjoyed in his presence.
It reminds me of the famous C.S. Lewis quote, right? I'll have to paraphrase because my memory does not allow me to say it verbatim, but it's along the lines
you're so
of
old now.
If you right, my it's slipping.
Christoph, get in here.
That idea of if you aim for earth, you get neither earth or heaven. If you aim for heaven, you get both heaven and earth. That idea of when God's presence is my priority, I actually find significantly more delight in his creation and in the things that he gifts me with, where when my focus is on those things, I find no joy in them, and I find no eternal joy, no lasting, no spiritual, no soul deep joy in anything beyond that.
Yeah, one might say, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things would be added unto you.
That was good. You should tweet that.
I should. So make sure. Let's attribute those quotes. If I end up, it's without fail. And that's something I really hope that people would through this sermon realize and consider. And that's why, you know, when people, I often get this bad rap that I'm anti-hobby, that I'm anti-recreation, and I'm so not. If you knew me at all, you'd know that that's not the case at all. I'm anti-idolizing those things.
Sure.
And the reality is that even in my own hobbies, like I enjoy photography, so I enjoy going out and taking pictures and wandering around. And when that is my main pursuit, then my enjoyment of that time away is solely on, did I get good shots? Do I feel like I used that time well? Did I miss this? Did I take the right gear? All that stuff. But if I'm just going and enjoying God's presence, I can still take that hobby seriously. Like I still have my gear and I still am trying to, you know, capture wildlife or whatever I'm trying to do. But the joy that's in me, like I'm fulfilled by something other than that. This is just a thing that I'm doing. And we obviously have lots of examples of that with personal relationships. You know, if I'm enjoying, when I take my kid to a baseball game, my main goal is not that the baseball game is not the main thing. It's spending time, you know, with my kids. Mm. And if you could put me in the greatest baseball game ever by myself, and that's not going to be as fulfilling as going to a random game with my kids. Mm. So most of the time. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. Sometimes they ruin things. Well, did I just say that out? Can we edit that
you
out?
Did. That was we'll edit that out in post.
Oh, good. I trust you fully and completely to edit that out. So people, no one will hear this part right here.
No, because we don't want people to assume that we're real people and that we right. also sometimes are. So speaking of tongue-in-cheek responses to things, I was struck as you were preaching. You made a comment, and I wrote the note down, and I was kind of laughing as I wrote it down. I'm like, oh, this is so funny and tongue in cheek and jokey, and except that it's not, right? So what I wrote down is, you seem to be saying that God's number one priority is not and should not be making everything easier for me. I don't care for that, and and what. What struck me is I wrote that down. I know, oh, I'm being silly and being a little satirical there, but then realizing, well, yeah, but there's a nugget of truth in that, right? That is upsetting. Like there, yeah. I truly, in my heart of hearts, want God to make things easier for me, and so I do. You know, you mentioned the example of we try to discern God's will by saying, well, where has He created the easiest path? Right. Well, look, this door has opened for me and this easy thing happened. And so it's just, this is the smooth track. And so quickly forget that Jesus himself said that wide and easy is the way to death. Right. That narrow and difficult is the path and very few will even find it. But I hear that and I go, yeah, but can't God make the path wide and easy for me, like in this circumstance. Like, I understand maybe for those other people. So I was struck by that. It was a really good reminder. It's one of those things that I think is important for us to keep in front of our face, that reminder of what is my expectation of God, and am I encouraged by him or discouraged by him, by his choosing to or choosing not to make my situation, my circumstance, my decisions easy and comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that, which comes back to why are we even here? Because there is a time where the path will be wide. That's an eternity. Like where we will be frolicking in a meadow or whatever, in those things. We're just constantly in the presence of God and rejoicing, and that's why that's heaven. But here on earth, in this time, the reason we're here is to display the glory of God. And so if our expectation is the reason I'm here is to live a comfortable life, well, then that's why we have so much disappointment in that. But if it's if it's to shine, if it's to be, to glorify God, well, then that's the purpose. I mean, otherwise we're like lights who, you know, light bulbs who only want to be out in the bright sunlight. Which, yeah, who wouldn't prefer to be in the bright sunlight rather than in darkness? But the whole purpose of a light is to shine in darkness. And so if we're not doing that, then we're not really, that's not really our purpose. And so that is that, and that can change our perspective then, and understand that when trials come or when these other circumstances hit, that it's not a departure from God's plan. It's largely God's plan. And it's just his grace and his kindness that we have so much, that there is so many good gifts here.
Right. That in fact, he is, that these light and momentary afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, that he is actually using these things to help us to enjoy eternity immeasurably more. Right? We sing that song, Christ the Sure and Steady Anchor, here quite a bit. And I absolutely love the final verse of that, and it ends with, and the calm will be the better for the storms that we endured.
Yep.
That idea of it will be even that much more beautiful. You know, Johnny Erickson Tada is famous for saying, again, kind of tongue in cheek, but saying like, I'm going to enjoy heaven more than all of you because I'm going to get to run again. And for those of you who don't know, she's quadriplegic. So she's been in a wheelchair for the bulk of her adult life. And she sees that, I'm sure she has her difficult days. I know she has her difficult days, but when she's seeing that through the lens of grace, she sees that as a gift, and kind of jokingly says, heaven's going to be even more awesome for me because of the additional celebration I have of being made whole again. But it's difficult when those circumstances are right in front of our face, to be able to hold that perspective.
It is difficult, and that's why that goes full circle back to why praying the presence of God, practicing that and praying it is so crucial. Because if you lose that, if the enemy can convince you that God is far from you, that he's forgotten you, that he is not near, then not much else, really nothing else is going to be comforting. Because even God's goodness at that point, and that's where you have a little bit of the priority, and why I say that the greatest the kind of foundational promise is God's presence. Because his goodness, it doesn't even do me any good if he's not near. If he's not with me, if he's far from me, well then he can be as good of a king as I want him to be, but if he's not here, that doesn't help. So we have to start with the fact that God is present. And I've just found that for me, when I've done that, when I've practiced that presence and when I've prayed those prayers, that it is the gateway through which so many other things happen. My anxiety is diminished, my fear is diminished. The other night I woke up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden was overcome with anxiety. Actually, it was on, was it Sunday night? It was Sunday night. So it was after I preached this sermon. I got woken up at like 3 a.m. and which was when some of your alarms go off. I know. I cannot stop thinking about that. Whenever I say middle of the night, 3 or 4 a.m, and I got, 20% of our church is saying that's when I get up to go to work. Got it. So first wake up for you, not for me, middle of the night. And I could not go to sleep. I don't know if you've ever had this where I felt some anxiety about some things that were going on, and it just started snowballing. And pretty soon everything I could think of was a negative, like everything that was hanging over me. Tax day is on Wednesday, is tomorrow. The taxes are due. And I am master level procrastinator. And so I remember back in March when they extended the deadline, I was sitting there and I saw on the TV, a good scroll across the screen. I think I was picking up a pizza at Brothers Three, and on the TV it said, federal government, IRS extends the tax deadline to July 15th. And I was like, woohoo, I don't have to worry about that forever. That's like forever from now. And then like four or five days ago, I go, wait a second, July 15th, that's tax day. And I haven't done anything with that. So on Sunday night, that was one of the things that popped into my head. Like, do I have everything? Do I, I've got to do all these things and find these records. And then that other thing started piling on. And so just hours after preaching the sermon and leading people through praying this, I'm sitting there and I found myself grasping for material things for comfort, just fun things, just surface things to comfort me or to distract me. It wasn't comfort. It was just looking for distraction. And I just said, you fool. can you please, like, what is the most important thing right now? It's God's presence. And so I just started praying. I prayed Psalm 23 and Psalm 46, and I just started praying Psalms, just laying there in bed and praying them. And it wasn't like an immediate burst of light that flooded my soul. It wasn't. It was actually like an hour of doing that and finally drifting back to sleep. And so I just say that to say it's so crucial to know that that's where to start. And I was so thankful for God's grace in that moment to experience that. So just so presently to experience that, and then to be praying that, but then to see, it's not just necessarily, sometimes it'll be like a light switch, but a lot of times it's not. It's just consistent claiming that promise and believing it and letting it kind of marinate and kind of soaking in that promise and letting it dissolve that anxiety away, rather than looking for just a quick shot in the arm that will just eliminate it right away.
Man, I find that very helpful. I think it's so important to have those expectations set appropriately, and rather than feeling like I toss out that prayer, God didn't answer it immediately, He's not present, right? And instead of being discouraged it didn't instantly vanish, but understanding that he operates in different ways. It's sometimes in His grace He absolutely does, but oftentimes it is more of a process. But that doesn't mean He's any less present. It actually means, because of His presence and because of His intimate knowledge of you, He knows the best way to walk you through that. And that's good. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and to tie a bow on it, I would say, in hindsight, if you had asked me on Sunday, hey, do you want to have a full night's rest, or do you want to wake up in the middle of the night and have stress and anxiety for an hour or an hour and a half? Rest assured, I would have chosen the former. I've said, I would rather have a full night's sleep. But in hindsight, I was taken through that process and experienced the care of my Father in a way that was unique and important, and I wouldn't want to give that up. And so that's just another example of what we're talking about, how it's not God's plans for us is not to make things comfortable and easy, because if I had slept easily that night, I wouldn't have had that experience. And then it's such a reminder of how often he does give me restful nights. So it's contrasted in that of like, God's gifts are still tangibly good most of the time.
Yeah.
They don't even need a twisting of it. It's just, he's giving us the better gift, and he knows what we can handle and what we can't by his power. And so he gives us those opportunities. And if that, I've gone through stretches where that's been nightly. And those are really rough seasons, but they have also been really rich seasons. But thank God he doesn't, that hasn't been my entire life, you know?
I'm into that.
So yeah, I think my hope is that people just, that we turn to praying that. And again, as we continue just praying through more and more scripture, I'm really hopeful. I'm encouraged by the stories. If you have stories about how it's been transformative to be praying scripture, let us know, because we want to be able to share those. Because I think a lot of people are experiencing some really incredible things, and it's hard for me always to know what can I share, what I can't. Sometimes I ask for permission, and but it's good for people to know that other brothers and sisters are experiencing some of these same things. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Man, that's a great way to finish this today. We are glad that you guys are listening. If you have questions, if you have, as Jay said, if you have experiences like this that you would want to share, we would love to hear those things. So please email us or catch us on a Sunday if you're here for one of our outdoor services. We get so excited about hearing how God is fulfilling his promises day in and day out in our family. So please share those. We want to hear that. And unless you say it is okay, we promise that will not end up as fodder for the next podcast. At least not without your permission.
Not without your permission. Do you need help turning this thing off, Robbie? You're calling Christoph?
I think I've got it.
Okay, good. Well, that will wrap it up then. I hope these podcasts have been helpful. We're going to keep churning them out. Make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss one. And we will see you next time.